old iron. One day, James had to wait at Edward's station till Edward and his train came in. This made him cross. "Late again," he shouted. Edward only laughed, and James fumed away. "Edward is impossible," he grumbled to the others. "He clanks about like an old lot of iron, and he's so slow he makes us wait." Thomas and Percy were indignant. "Old iron," they snorted. "Slow? Why, Edward? Why, Edward could beat you in a race any day." "Really?" said Jamie huffily. "I should like to see him do it." One day, James's driver did not feel so well when he came to work. "I'll manage," he said, but when he reached the top of Gordon's Hill, he could hardly stand. The fireman drove this train to the next station. He spoke to the signalman, put the trucks in the siding, and uncoupled James, ready for shunting. Then he helped the driver over to the station and asked them to look after it and find a relief. Suddenly the signalman shouted, and fireman turned and saw James puffing away. He ran hard, but he couldn't catch James, and soon came back to the signal box. The signalman was busy. "All traffic halted," he announced at last. "Up and down main lines are clear for 30 miles, and inspectors coming." Fireman moped in his face. "What happened?" he asked. "The two boys were off on the footplate. They tumbled off when James started. I shouted at them and they ran like rabbits." "Just let me catch them," said the fireman grimly. "I'll teach them to meddle with my engine." Both men jumped as the telephone rang. "Yes," answered the single woman. "He's here." "Right, I'll tell him." "The inspector's coming at once," said Edward. "He wants a shunter's pole and a coil of wire rope." "What for?" wondered the fireman. "Search me, but you could better get them quickly." The fireman was ready and waiting when Edward arrived. The inspector saw the pole and rope. "Good man," he said. "Jump in." "We'll catch him," puffed Edwards, crossing the line in pursuit. James was laughing as he left the yard. "What a lark, what a lark," he chuckled to himself. Presently, he missed his driver and on the regulator. And then he realised that there was no one in the cab. "What shall I do?" he wailed. "I can't stop. Help, help." "We're coming, we're coming." Edward was panting up behind him with every ounce of steam he had. With a great effort, he caught up and crept alongside, slowly gaining till his smoke box was level with James' puffer beam. "Steady, Edward," the inspector stood on Edward's front, holding a noose of rope in the crook of the shunter's pole. He was trying to slip over James' buffer, but the engine swayed and lurched. He tried again. More than once he nearly fell, but saved himself. "At last, got him," he shouted. He pulled the noose tight and came back to the cab safely. Gently braking so as not to snap the rope, Edward's driver checked the engine speed and James's fireman scrambled across and took control. The engine puffed back by its side. "The old iron caught you after all," chuckled Edward. "I'm sorry," whispered James. "Thank you for saving me." "That's all right. You're splendid, Edward." The fat controller was waiting and thanked the men warmingly. "A fine piece of work," he said. "James, you can rest and then take your train. I'm proud of you, Edward. You shall go to the works and have your worn parts mended." "Oh, thank you, sir," said Edward happily. "It'll be lovely not to clank." The two naughty boys were soon caught by the police and their father walloped them soundly. They were also forbidden to watch trains till they could be trusted. James's driver soon got well in hospital, and now back at the work. James missed him very much, but he missed Edward more. And you'll be glad to know, when Edward came home after another day, James and all the other engines gave him a tremendous welcome. The fat controller thinks he'll be deaf for weeks. The end.